So spiritual gifts. Some people serve out of necessity, that idea that just it needs to be done, so that's why I'm going to do it. Some people serve out of just plain service because they know it makes a difference and someone needs to do it because it makes a difference and it's important. So they're going to serve because they know it makes a difference and it's important to be done. Some people serve out of passion. And they just get a really great feeling of fulfillment from that particular ministry, and they serve because they just really enjoy it. But the best way to serve is to serve in the place where you have been called and gifted. And when you serve there, you know you're going to be doing something that needs to be done. You know that you're going to be doing something that's important, that's going to make a difference. And you're going to be able to serve in a place where you'll find your passion. You will enjoy it. You will get a great feeling of fulfillment when you are serving where you've been called and spiritually gifted by God. One of the greatest things you can give a person is significance. And no significance can compare to finding the part of God's kingdom that you have been called for and gifted for. Every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. We have been empowered. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit distributed different gifts among God's children. Many different gifts, but all come from one Spirit. Many gifts, but the same Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit reveals himself through our gifts, which is a pretty awesome thing. That he manifests through our gifts. These gifts are a direct result of God's grace. They are grace-given gifts. The same grace that gives us salvation is the grace that gives us these gifts. And so our salvation is directly connected to responsible actions in the body. These gifts have been apportioned by Jesus Christ, the head of the church. We have been specifically selected, every one of us. When we've received our calling, we've received our gift, we've been specifically selected by Jesus Christ, the head of the church, to fulfill a certain purpose, to fill a certain part of the body. God's plan for his church is that to gift his people to work together. The only way our church is going to function the way God intended it to function is for every one of us to know our part and to be our part. So we can't let our spiritual gift or our spiritual gifts go to waste. We must develop, we must hone, we must work out, we must understand that we must be responsible for the gift that we've been given because it's precious. It's supernatural. And that means using it. And we can be so excited about our spiritual gift and yet remain 100% humble. Because when you use your gift, God gets the glory. Amen? And you feel God working through you. And you know you are making a difference for God's kingdom. And you find your place in the mission of Jesus Christ and what he has called the church to be. We've talked about all that so far in this series. In addition to all that, we've looked at a few different ways that we can find out our spiritual gift, that we can discover our spiritual gift. We talked about taking a spiritual gifts assessment or a spiritual gifts test. The no word. You can do that. You can get to know about your spiritual gift through being active in ministry. That sometimes you'll discover your gift by just being out there and serving, by just getting out there and serving. That you would pray that God would reveal it to you, that you would humbly experiment in various areas of service, and you would be open to honest feedback from your Christian brothers and sisters. I can tell you where you won't find your spiritual gift. And that's sitting on your physical butt. That's where you won't find it, that's for sure. So get out there, get involved. So spiritual gifts assessment, getting involved in ministry. Today's message is on purpose and spiritual gifts put together. We're going to get to yet another way that you can discover your spiritual gift later. Before we get there, I want to look at the general purpose. So looking at another way of how we find our spiritual gift is going to be more into the individual purpose. But let's start by looking at the collective purpose of the spiritual gifts. It's pretty cool stuff. So I have scripture first. So when we're all connected together as one body and we work together, there's a collective purpose that happens there. In 1 Corinthians 12, one of the three passages we've been every Sunday in this series, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and what? There we go. You looked down, but you knew where to find it. So good job, Mary. Ephesians 4. So those three passages, that's where you're going to find the biggest hunks of meat in Scripture there on spiritual gifts, those three different places. So 1 Corinthians 12, one of those three main passages. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Okay, that's a Jesus reference. Jesus is Lord, so we have the Spirit and then Jesus. And of course, we're going to be following that up with the Father, the third part of the Trinity. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. We've focused on that word a lot. We're actually going to be focusing on it a little more today. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? The common good. So we all come together. There's a common good involved there. Let's write this down. Every individual gift has a collective purpose for the common good. So the purpose of our gifts isn't just to have our gift, but the purpose of our gifts is to work together for a common good, to work together as one body. If you're a leg, someone else is an arm, someone else is an eye, someone else is an ear, someone else is a belly button, whatever. We form the body of Christ. And so our gift is not just for us, and it's enjoyable, and it's a great thing when we discover our gift and our calling. But there's a bigger picture that we need to connect that into to understand the purpose of our gifts. We have a collective purpose. Every individual gift has a collective purpose for the common good. And we're going to look at some of those common goods spoken of here in these three different passages of Scripture. The first one is that every gift promotes unity and teamwork in the body. Every gift. If you look at the 7 gifts, or if you look at the 16 gifts, or you look at the 24 gifts, whichever number of gifts you're going to look at. A few weeks ago in the bulletin, you had the list of all the gifts that you can find in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. And then, no, in the bulletin they weren't listed, but I mentioned some of the other gifts that are mentioned in other places of Scripture. But those main gifts, you can see a big number of them there. Every one of those gifts, the purpose is teamwork and unity, is to come together and work together, to be a team. Not just to be individuals, but to be unified. They're different gifts, but what? The same Spirit, correct? Different gifts, but the same Lord, Jesus, head over the church. Different gifts, but the same God working in them all. Ephesians 4 says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope when you are called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There is a feeling of connectivity when all the parts come together. When church is done right, There's a unity, a supernatural, I was going to say a natural unity, but it's a supernatural unity. As we join together as one body and we feel that, when all these different parts come together to form one body, with one Spirit connecting us all, and that Spirit reveals himself, manifests himself, through every one of us working together in unity and teamwork. That's an amazing thing. If you just think about that and imagine how powerful churches would be around the world if every one of them functioned the way God intended the church to function. Just in that singular point there alone, the unity and teamwork that would come from all of us being the part that we should be and fitting in together, just like puzzle pieces, and working together. Every gift promotes unity and teamwork together. Romans 12, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function. So in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. I got a hyper turn there. There we go. We work together. We work together to function as one with many parts. We each have individual functions as different body parts, but we all come together for a singular function, and that is to be the church, to fulfill the commission that Jesus Christ gave to us, to go into all the world and to baptize and to teach people. And that's what making disciples is. That's what we are to join together, and that's the mission we're after. And so whatever function you have in the body, all of us come together for a collective function. And we all belong together. The different parts, we have different parts in the same body, but all the parts belong to the same body. I love these illustrations in Scripture because it makes preaching so much easier. Because it's a great illustration. You've got the body with many different parts, but it's one body. And so we come together with many different functions, many different gifts, many different personalities, and we come together to form one body. And that's unity, that's teamwork. We need each other to be successful. That's important that we get that. Every one of us, and as much as you might not like somebody, or not get along with somebody, or maybe their personality rubs you, it's just really tough. We need each other. That's way above any of those feelings or any of those things there, and we need to see the mission of Christ as being so important that we need each other. And until we get that feeling, that desire, that understanding, that unity and teamwork, it's going to be difficult. But as soon as we tune that in our brains and we have our minds transformed, as Paul says in the beginning of Romans 12, and we just think of everyone in here, look around you, look at the people who showed up today. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I need you. And not in a weird way, okay? Don't get all creepy. Don't give them weird eyes. Turn to another person. I think you guys are already doing it. Turn to someone else. I need you. Say, I can't function properly without you. And then you can tell them, you're darn right. You can't. Okay, we need each other. And we need to understand that's part of this unity and teamwork. And we live in America, and I love our country. But we celebrate this individualism, and I was one of those individualistic people. I was one of those, you know, before I was a Christian, I loved the Emerson and the Thoreau and all this, you know, free thought and different things. And I was one of these guys that you know, I had the long hair and I dressed in all the weird skater clothes and I hung out with all the people, and we were nonconformists. We didn't want to look like anybody else, but we ended up looking all like the same with each other. Yeah, we all wore like the same hair and the same. So it's kind of funny. So you had this group of nonconformists, but when they all look together, you find groups wherever you go. But the idea there is, I think that's all of America. I think that's how all of us, you know, be who you are. You rise up. You're your own destiny. Be the individual you are. And that's great. And that's what the Bible teaches. However, we need to get the other part in there too. Be the individual God made you to be, and flourish, and all the things we talked about in this series so far. Your gift, and honing your gift, and being responsible with your gift, and all of that. But there's a bigger piece to that, and that is that fits in with a bigger whole. And you should be the individual God made you to be, but you should be the individual that God made you to be as a puzzle piece that fits in to a much larger puzzle that is so much more beautiful than you are by yourself. And if you're missing the puzzle's missing that piece. And if we see that someone's missing, we have to understand our puzzle is missing this person. So very important that we understand that we need each other. We depend on each other. We need each other to be successful as God's church. This promotes humility. I can't do it all on my own. I can't at all. I know where I'm weak. I know where I'm not great. And man, oh man, it's so frustrating. I'd love to be great at everything. But I can't. And that's the beauty of how God made his church. We've been made to be great at certain things, and that's our part. Other people have been made to be great at other things, and that's their part. And it takes humility to be able to go to someone else and say, this isn't my area. I can't do this. I really need your help. And for them to know that's their gift. And that's exciting. It should be exciting for them. It promotes humility and it promotes gratitude. We're so very grateful when someone can step in and do something that we can't do, aren't we? We can't take each other for granted. We are all needed. And every little part, the presentable parts, the unpresentable parts, the big parts, the little parts, the parts you think that are so very important, the heart, the lungs, and the gallbladder, the appendix, we're all part of the body. Everyone is important. Not because they're some VIP on their own, but God has made them a VIP by giving them the gift that he has given them through grace. God has made them a very important part of his body. Everyone has their place. Everyone has their spot. And if they are missing, we're not a whole body. 1 Corinthians 12, he says, just as a body, the one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. So we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an ear, not an eye, if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed, everyone say, God has placed. God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If we were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Unified, teamwork. We should have equal concern for each other. Now the next two notes go together. They come, they're kind of a little hopscotch in Ephesians 4. So let's write those down and then we're going to unpack those a little bit. Every gift helps the church to grow up and mature under Christ. Every gift helps the church to grow up and mature under Christ. And I'll wait. Wait till everybody's done writing down. I don't move on too quick. Every gift helps the church to grow up and mature under Christ. And every gift gives strength and support to God's church. Every gift does these things. Every gift promotes unity and teamwork. Every gift helps the church to grow up and mature under Christ. And every gift gives strength and support to God's church. To get that one written down. And then we'll jump to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So we had mentioned before earlier in the series that the gifts mentioned in Ephesians 4 are the leadership gifts in God's church. The apostles that started the church in the first in the apostolic era and the beginning of the church. And nowadays you can see the gift of apostleship not as apostles, but it's called the gift of apostleship. And it's typically the type of people you see planting churches and starting new churches. They would have that gift that's associated with apostleship. The gift of prophets, prophecy, those who speak inspired words from God. The evangelists, those who are good at sharing their faith and helping others to come to believe. That would be apologetics, helping to explain our faith in ways that people can, in ways that can help them to be convinced that our faith is real and true. The pastor teachers, that's a hybrid group mentioned there. Those who typically pastor and teach at a local congregation. The purpose of those gifted in those areas of church leadership is to equip God's people for works of service. That's the purpose of those gifts in the church, to equip God's people for works of service. So people with my gift and people with gifts in that category, they are to equip God's people for works of service. We all use our gifts for works of service. We all use our gifts together in teamwork for works of service. And Paul says this should result in growing up and maturing as a body. As we all use our works, as we all use our gifts in our works of service to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So as one body with many parts, we work together so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. So that goes back to the first note that we took on working together in unity and teamwork. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So we work together in unity, together with teamwork, using our gifts for works of service so that we will grow up and become mature. The NASB captures the nuance of the Greek here that the NIV doesn't capture here. It emphasizes it here in a few verses. But the NASB uses the term mature man, and that is the Greek term here. The Greek in this passage is talking about becoming, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And that is a direct connection to the church being connected to Christ. And that's why it's referred to as a mature man. Because the body would grow up to match the head attached to it. I've shared with you sometimes the church kind of looks like a Jesus bobblehead. Right? Big old head and the body's just, it's not catching up. It's not growing up. But Paul's point in Ephesians 4 here is that people in leadership positions in the church that are gifted for that, they should be equipping people for works of service. Every one of us, all of our gifts, all of the parts that we are, should be working together to help us to grow up into the mature man of Christ so that the body matches the head. Often the church is referred to in the feminine, isn't it? The bride of Christ. And here Paul kind of throws a curveball, but it's with tremendous intent. Christ is the head, we are the body, and it should match. We should grow up into a mature man as the church, so that the church would connect to the head, which is Christ, and it would work. It would fit. That's the purpose. That's what we are to do, is to grow up and mature. That's the goal of us joining together, working in unity and teamwork to mature into the body of Christ. This full-grown adult male picture of the church as Jesus' body then is contrasted in the next verse, as we read, with the infants that we should not be. So you should grow up to be a fully mature man under Christ as a church. Then we will no longer be what? What is it up on the screen? Yes. Then we'll no longer be infants. Total, complete opposite from this mature man that was described. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful screaming. I've heard that too. But deceitful scheming. So we are to, when we join together and when we build each other up and we grow, we support each other through that. We support and we strengthen each other so that we're not like an infant that's blown here and there and tossed around and moved and deceived and thrown off course and things happen. We know that that happens. We know the threat of that is there. Paul says we need to come together as a body and mature into the body of Christ so that nothing can touch the church. Didn't Jesus himself say that he would raise up his church and his church would storm the gates of Hades? Yes. We are to be a mighty force, church. And Paul says we're not going to be a mighty force if little things can move us around. If we're like infants being tossed here and there by deceitful ways and deceitful scheming, we can't allow that to happen. And how do we not allow that to happen? We join together as one body in teamwork and unity. We support and we strengthen each other. We grow up and we mature together. Amen. So instead, speaking the truth in love, we referred to that verse last week. We will grow up or grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament, supporting, strengthen each other. All the parts of the body are held together by the body. We're not just, you don't have arms floating. They're connected. Hands are connected to your wrists, and the wrists connect to your arm. Arms, elbow, and the upper arm to your shoulder, to your chest, your torso. It's all connected in and then strengthened and supported by all of these other parts, these ligaments. It grows and builds itself up in love as this isn't a magical thing that just happens. The church is a wonderful, mature body of Christ. It doesn't just happen. This happens through what? What does it say? As each, read that with me, as each part does its work. As each part does its work. That's how it happens, church. The church does not grow up and mature with us just coming in a Sunday and sitting in a pew and then going home and saying, well, that was a wonderful Sunday. It's not how it happens. If we want to do what Christ wants us to do as his church, to grow up into this mature man and match the head and not be a Jesus bobblehead, then it means working together, using the gifts that we've been given to work these works of service that he mentions earlier in this passage, so that we can grow up and become this mature man so that nothing will move us, so that nothing can touch us. Church, there are so many great things that we can do as a church. When we come together and we function this way, I believe that God is just waiting for churches across America. And I think some churches have gotten it. And I think those are the churches that have just exploded. But it doesn't mean that the smaller churches are outside of God's plan or outside of what could happen if they align themselves with God's plan. And that's what we've been working to do in the past 3 years of this Renewing the Focus efforts. We want to align our church with God's plan in a way that's unmistakable. And I assure you that the elders and myself, we have not taken this lightly at all. That's why it has stretched out and taken a long time. We haven't rushed through discussions. If we've come across something that needs to be discussed, we've had some really good heart-to-hearts about Jesus' purpose in the church. What do we see that God wants us to do here? We really want to hear what God wants. We've been seeking his voice. And it's just been a great, great journey together. Am I correct, Chuck? Ryan? Kurt? Where's Kurt? There he is. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But this isn't going to happen just because we're having these meetings. Okay, it's each part does its work. We need each other. It's teamwork. It's unity. We are not going to grow up and mature without each other, without every part. As Paul, I read that passage. Every part needs every part, no matter what it is, no matter where it is. If it's presentable or if it's, you know, the things you keep hidden. If it's something inside that's more tender but so important, you protect the heart with the rib cage. It's the way it is. You need the heart. God bless you if you're a rib. Sorry. Your goal is to just, you're there to take the beating so the heart doesn't get it. You know, but it's the whole body, and we come together and we join together in unity and teamwork to mature and grow up and to strengthen and to support each other. And that only happens as each part does its work. Every part doing the work that it was selected to do. Make sure I'm not missing too much. I want to jump to the next. And then the last one in this category here is that every gift is a testimony of the Spirit's presence and activity in God's church. Mentioned many times in this series, the Spirit shows up in our gifts. He reveals himself. He shows himself. He manifests through our gifts. And I closed last week's message by reading this passage from Peter. I'm going to reread it. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Every gift is a testimony of the Spirit's presence and activity in the church. If you speak, you do it with the words of God. If you serve, you do it with the strength of God, and God gets the glory. And the Spirit shows himself. This is for us. This is so important for us to see, church. I mean, just imagine how encouraging it would be to see the Spirit manifest through every one of us as we join together and work together. None of us would ever, and I can't tell you how many times I've sat with someone, and some of you are thinking, oh, he's talking about the time I came to visit. No, listen, it has been numerous people, so it's not just you. But I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone say, I don't hear God, I don't feel God, I don't sense his presence. Church, I think those conversations would be a lot less frequent if the church were working together the way that God intended, because God's Spirit would manifest and show himself. Amen. And we would long to work and serve together, because, man, what a joy to come together and know God's going to show up today. Because the arm and the hand and the legs and the stomach and everyone, we're all here together. And we're going to see the Spirit manifest. And so that's for us. That's super encouraging. That's super faith building. But it's also for those that don't know Christ. How powerful of a message is it when people outside the church see the church working together in unity and in teamwork? All these different people, all these different parts, all these different gifts working for one purpose, the mission of Christ. Working for one thing to move that forward. Being all on the same board, all on the same page. That's why we had our core values. We knew they were super important, because we knew that we would need to have good guide rails, good yellow lines on the side of the road to say, okay, here's where we're going to go specifically as Miami Town Church of Christ. So we can all get on the same page and be unified. That speaks volumes to the world outside of our church. In the different places, the various places that we're going to be going into and serving as a group together, to be able to go into those places and they see that we are unified and working together and that we need each other and we depend on each other and there's a sincere love for each other, and as our gifts are being used, God's Spirit is being shown to the world through us being the church. Amen. So it's needed for us, it's needed for those outside the church as well. That's why it hurts so bad when churches are dysfunctional. You miss that. You miss the ability to show that. So let's keep rolling. Okay, so that's our collective purpose. So now we're gonna narrow down into our individual purpose. And as we bridge into that, I told you we'd be looking at one more way that we can discover our spiritual gift. So here's our one more way. We've looked at spiritual gifts assessments. We've looked about getting involved in ministry. And sometimes it happens kind of backwards, kind of happens flip-floppity. Let's write this down. Sometimes you discover your gift by discovering your calling. Sometimes we find our gift and we say, okay, I've got the gift, like we did a few weeks ago. We took a spiritual gifts discovery here in the church, in church service, and we went next door and we said, okay, here's all these dreams. Where does my gift fit? Sometimes it goes the other way around, where we say, okay, God has called me to this area, and that takes some faith to step out and say, okay, well, I don't know how I fit here, but God has called me here. And sometimes you go to that area of service, you go to that area of ministry, and then God starts revealing to you the gift that you've been given to follow that calling. Sometimes you find your calling by discovering your gift. You know that He has selected you for a certain place in the church, and you really don't know how you're going to function there. You don't know what you're going to do, but just go. Just be like Abraham. Just go. You're not going to lose anything. That's the great thing. I mean, the parable of the talents. You can't gamble God's calling away or God's gift away. You can waste it. You can throw it away. You can bury it and hide it. But you can't risk it. You can't risk it enough. Get out there and give it a shot. If you feel like God's called you into an area, don't be afraid. I'd be afraid, like we talked last week, I'd be afraid of not doing it. Don't be afraid of doing it. So let's write these down real quick. You constantly notice some void. So this is a way that you can kind of see your calling sometimes. When you constantly notice that there's some void, you might think, that does no one else see that this is missing on a Sunday morning? That might be God showing you your calling, because really, no one else might notice but you. And you might notice because it's the place where God has called you to be. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, because we all have those points. We come in and we're like, this is this way again. Why isn't someone doing something about that? Don't they see it? No one might not notice what you notice, but it's still an important part to help our church to function the way it needs to function. And maybe you notice because that's your calling. It's a great way to look at things. What do you notice is missing? What do you notice the void is? You notice that there's no part in that place. You might notice it because you're the part that goes in that place. So pray about it. Our steps from last week. Pray about it. Step out in faith. Humbly experiment. Let God reveal to you the gifts that He has given you to fulfill the calling that He has put on your heart and that selection that He has placed on you. Sometimes it's what jumps out when you're reading God's word. Let's write that down. What stands out to you in Scripture? Maybe if you notice that certain things stand out to you in Scripture, that might be a window into the calling that God has for you. Maybe it's every time that you see Jesus or one of the early church leaders help someone who is down and out. And those passages just seem to jump out at you, just right out at you. Just like they were little pictures in a children's pop-up book. Do you remember those? I love those. I've got a Star Wars pop-up book that was given to my kids, but I want to keep it safe. It's really cool. You guys are very, very blessed because I'm here today. Because up in Chicago, there are, you know, over 1,000 Star Wars nerds at the Star Wars convention that I've been vicariously watching through different YouTubers and different things through this weekend. But those pop-up books, maybe when you go into Scripture, those passages just seem to stand out more than any of the other passages. When you see someone reaching out and helping someone that's down and out, you know what? Maybe God is revealing to you what he has called you to. And you might not have a clue what your gift is, but if you notice that and you say, you know what, that matters to me, that means something to me, maybe that's where God's calling you. Maybe you should experiment with that. Maybe you should pray about it, step out in faith, humbly experiment, and let God reveal to you the gifts that he's given you to fulfill the calling that he has given to you. Maybe it's the wisdom in the Bible that jumps out at you. Passages that almost look like they've already been highlighted in the Bible for you. Almost like they're bold font. When you look back at it, all the font's the same, but for some reason, these certain passages that are all wisdom-oriented just kind of jump out at you. Maybe God's calling you into a ministry area where you're going to share your wisdom with other people that you've gained from God's word because you see the wisdom in God's word more than what someone else would see. So maybe that's your calling. Maybe he's revealing to you your gift through that as well. So pray about it, step out in faith, and humbly experiment. And God will reveal to you the gifts that he's given to you to fulfill that calling, that selection that he's made of you, that he's placed on you. Maybe it shows up in your prayer life. Maybe you notice, let's write this down. What if you find yourself praying about it often? What you find yourself praying about often? So maybe you find yourself coming back to the same subjects every time you pray. Every time you pray, it includes something about our youth and how God would bring a youth minister to our church, or God would protect the youth, or God would raise the youth up. God would do something with youth. And your pray the kids back to school little half sheet that we got last fall, it is worn slap out. It is like as thin and brittle as a tissue. Because you've folded it up, you've taken it with you to work, you've taken it with you here and there, you've laid it on your dresser, it's been on the bathroom countertop there when you've been getting ready in the morning. Because those students, they mean so much to you, and you pray about them all the time. So maybe God has called you to help out in the youth in our church in some way. And you think, well, I'm not a teacher, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. You might not know what your gift is. And so you say, you know what? The youth are on my heart, and I don't know really what I'm supposed to do. I just feel like God's calling me to be part of that. Then you're never going to find out what that part is if you sit on that, if you don't act on it. So pray about that subject. Step out in faith and humbly experiment. And God will reveal to you the gifts that he's given to you to fulfill the calling, the selection that he's placed on you. Sometimes you discover your gift by discovering your calling. And now something different here. Let me bring your attention to the difference between passion and a calling. And this is going to be a little counterintuitive. So let's write this down, and then I'm going to unpack it a little bit. Don't mistake passion for a calling. Don't mistake passion for a calling. Seek what God wants, where he wants you, and that's where you will find your passion. You know, sometimes we get it backwards. We get it upside down there. And this is some new things that God is revealing to me, so I'm going to be very transparent with you. I'm in the beginning phases of hearing this from God. And so when I first heard it felt very good, because for me, this is totally counterintuitive to the way that my inner person functions. I'm a very passion-driven person. So when I heard this reading scripture and felt like I heard it from God on my heart, I thought, that didn't come from me, because that's not the way I think. So when those things happen and they hit me, then I test them and I say, okay, well, is it counter to scripture? Actually, it's not at all. When I started looking into our passions in scripture, our passions lead us astray often. Our heart can't be trusted sometimes. And I was like, oh, okay, that fits. That makes sense. It's definitely clear that we are to find our calling and our purpose. And so I thought, well, I think there's some truth in this. So I'm venturing through this with you, but I'm going to share with you what God revealed to me now. And as I grow through the years, we'll get more pieces of this. Is that all right? I didn't want to not share it because I thought it was too good to not share. And I knew it didn't come from me. So either, I'm hoping. So don't mistake passion for a calling. Seek what God wants and where he wants you. And that's where you're going to find your passion. We should have an honest conversation with ourselves. That if you're serving in an area that you're passionate about, but not gifted in, is that really satisfying? That's tough. And maybe you've been called to that area, but maybe you're called to a different part of that area. That could be true also. But maybe you're so passionate about this area that you have missed the calling and the selection that God has placed on you because you're so bent on doing this thing because that's what you feel in your heart you should be doing. And maybe if you step back from that, let that go, and be open to what God wants from you and where he wants to put you, then you'll find the place, the exact place where he wants you. And then you're going to be passionate about it because that place is so much more enjoyable than the place where you weren't effective. Correct? So don't let passion keep you from finding your place. Don't let passion keep you from finding your part in the body. Don't let passion keep you from finding your purpose. Try something a little counterintuitive. Seek out your place and your passion will come. Seek out the part you're made for and you'll feel the passion. Seek out your calling, what God has selected you for, and I guarantee you the passion will follow along with that. You'll get the passion and you'll get that great feeling of fulfillment that comes from serving in your area of passion. But it's going to be better than serving in an area that you've put yourself in. You're going to be serving in an area where you know this is where God wants me. And that passion can't be touched. So God gives every individual child a specific purpose. So let me be so bold this morning to share with you God's will for you in an equation form. Nothing to write down in your bulletin. It's already right there. Some of you guys have already read it. I'm going to put it vertically up here on the screen. So here's God's will for you, okay, that your spiritual gifts plus your calling or your selection in the church plus your natural skills or gifts plus opportunity. You add all those up and you will find your place, you will find your purpose, and you will find your passion. Every time, I guarantee you, that's what you do. Sometimes you got some missing pieces there. Follow the calling. You might find your gifts. Follow your gifts. You might find your calling. Those are definitely top two there. But then you add to that your natural skills, the natural things that you've been blessed with, the natural things that you're good at. How can these natural gifts work hand in hand with the supernatural spiritual gifts that God's given me and this particular ministry that he's called me to? And here's an opportunity to use all that. Wah! Place, purpose, passion. Every time. I think sometimes when we look for our place, we look for our purpose, we look for our passion. Sometimes we don't find it and we get frustrated. Yes, you agree? So let's try things differently. I mean, if you do the same thing with the same results, that's insanity, isn't it? So try things differently. Let's do something crazy. Let's ask God where he wants us in his church. What? No way. Yeah, it's that simple. God, where do you want me? What's the calling you've placed on me? I know you have one, because every part is important. We've learned that. That's clear in Scripture. Every part has a place. Every part has a purpose. Every part will have a passion. You won't have it if you're not in the place where you are meant to be. And the only way you're going to find that is through God. He gave you natural gifts and talents that you've had all your life. And then you became a Christian and you got these supernatural gifts that were given to you. And God has placed on your heart some area, some ministry, some area of ministry, some area in the church that is special, it is important to you. Maybe you notice that there's a void missing there. Maybe it's something that comes up when you're reading Scripture. Maybe it's something that comes up when you pray. Maybe it's all of the above. And then it's just a neon sign in the clouds from the heavens. Here's where I want you to be. And so you go there. Spiritual gifts, your calling from God, your selection. Natural gifts, opportunity, place, purpose, passion. Every time from what I can observe, join with me in looking at that. And we can all be the group that you survey. What's that? There's a name for that. Focus group. There we go. Thank you. Who was that? Joe. Thank you, Joe. Joe gets the gold star today. So I'll be the focus group. I believe this to be true. I think it walks hand in hand with Scripture. Give it a shot. Let me know. The more we see this as being true, the more we're going to be able to teach it and share it and spread it, and the more we're going to see God's church benefit from it in his kingdom. Okay, final. Using your gift is rewarding. The feeling of contributing, fitting in, and making a difference, that's rewarding. That's rewarding. There's a purpose in that. Using your gift is rewarding. Your Father will reward you for what you have done. That is in many different places in Scripture. I gave you two in your bulletin that are very clear. We are saved by grace, not by works, but we are rewarded for the works we have done. Spiritual gift, purpose. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for organizing your church the way you have, that we are all important parts of your body because you have made us important, not because we're important of ourselves. Father, I thank you for giving us supernatural gifts through your Spirit. Father, I pray that our church, everyone in our church, would find their calling, their selection. They would find their spiritual gift mix. That they would pair those with things that would use their natural gifts, and that they would pair those with opportunities that we have right here in our body. The lowercase b, the body of Miami Town Church of Christ, so that we would unify and that we would see teamwork, that we would be dependent on each other, that we would strengthen and support each other, that we would grow up and mature together. Help us to experience that. That every one of us would be passionate about the calling and the place that you have placed us. That we would find purpose, that we would find our part, because we sought out your will. I am excited to see what you will do with a church that is willing to do things your way and seek your will and let your Spirit be manifested through all of its different parts and members. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I kind of enjoy this subject a little. I love it. I do. Because I think it is just sheer genius on God's part. I mean, he's a genius, period. I mean, you look around, you see the world. You can look through a microscope and see things there. You can look at the macro and how the universe is held together. And you go to micro and you see how an atom is held together. And they're pretty much the same thing. That is just, it's amazing. God is just a genius. And I love to see his genius at work. And the genius that God put together when he put together his church, it's just beautiful in a very masculine, beautiful way. So church, seek that out. I hope that we all have this desire, that this feeling of excitement, that when we all seek this and we all come together and we become this mature man growing up underneath Jesus Christ, and we look like an action figure and not like a bobblehead, then imagine what we're going to be able to do for the kingdom. It's going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome ride. I'm excited to be right here, right now, at this particular moment in time in the history of Miami Town Church of Christ. I feel extremely blessed, and I hope all of us do, that we're here at this moment.